be careful.
It's all right. Just one little kiss. George is driving.
Oh, okay. Here's one for you. And here's one for winning the game tomorrow night.
That'll be a cinch. Now, with George and me in there talking basketball, City College won't have a chance.
You boys are wonderful.
Well, we got a team. Haven't lost a basketball game this season.
Here's a kiss of the team.
If you guys are through pitching Lou, don't you think we better be going back? The game's tomorrow night, you know, and the boys will need some rest.
Oh, just a little farther. Kiss me, Phil.
Wow. Are you atomic?
Hey, hold on. I'm going to turn at the next corner.
George, isn't that a car pulled across the road up there?
Yeah, that's gone. Lou, what does he think he's doing? Hey, what's the matter with you, fella? You want to get hit or something?
All right, you guys. Get out.
Hey, what's the idea?
Get out. This ain't a yo-yo I got in my hands.
Yes, we'd better acquiesce.
Not you, James. Just a guy.
Just what is this?
This sister is a snatch. And if either one of you squeaks one word about this, these guys' lives won't be worth a plugged Chinese buck.
Dr. Banfield, student of crime psychology, has many times provided the police with a solution to a baffling crime. There's an interesting case ahead for the doctor today. We'll call it Money in a Basket.
You know, Dan, I wish I'd studied psychology when I was in school.
Well, it isn't too late, Lester, you know. I'm giving lectures over at Norton College every Thursday afternoon.
Oh, I don't want to go on Thursday. That's my day off.
Well, why this sudden interest?
Oh, I'd just like to know what you're thinking when you sit there looking at me and drum on your desk with your pencil.
It's probably just as well that you didn't study psychology. want to see where it is, Rusty?
Okay. What do you want?
I want to see Dr. Danfield.
Oh, well, you've seen him. Goodbye.
Rusty. Oh, so young lady, yes.
Okay, the boss said you can come in.
Thanks.
Well, whatever's fair.
Thanks. My name is June Webster.
Yes, I recognize you. You're one of the young ladies in my Thursday classes.
That's right.
Was there something in my last lecture that you didn't understand?
No, I want to see you about something entirely different.
Oh? Well, rather.
Does your secretary have to be here?
You just bet your life I do.
Rusty?
Well, I'm not going out of here and leave you alone with her.
I won't eat him.
I say.
You see how things are, Miss Webster? She says.
Well, I guess it won't.
Now, tell me, what is it you want?
My boyfriend has been kidnapped.
Kidnapped?
Yes. Last evening we were out driving. So crazy, that's my boyfriend, and Jimmy Norman was kidnapped.
Oh.
Some thugs did that.
Crazy nun.
Yes.
And you say this happened last evening?
Yes. Why did you go to the police? I live in a small little house over in Brooklyn, and so she has a room over the campus with George Merriman.
Well, what's money got to do with the boys not being kidnapped?
Why, don't you see? Suppose Phil has some money bet on tonight's game. Well, all season long, Norton has been the favorite. We never have gone into a game where the odds have been less than 5-2 in our favor.
Oh?
Well, this morning, odds dropped to 4-1 that Norton would lose.
I see, and you think that your boyfriend had himself kidnapped along with George Merriman so they wouldn't be able to play in the game.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yes, without their two stars, Norton is bound to lose.
If that guy's done that, our marriage is off. I'll never speak to him again as long as I live.
Well, I wouldn't be too hasty to accuse him. But it might be entirely on the low.
Well, there's no reason for this. Because Phil told me just yesterday he's going to get a lot of money a very few days. He wanted to get married right away.
What do you want me to do?
Mind the boys. You will expose them or to clear them.
Oh. Well, we haven't very much time, then. That game at Madison Square Garden at 10 o'clock tonight.
In a moment, we return to Michael Dunn's second act of Danger Rocket and Anfield, but first. Back to my Michael Dunn for the second act of Danger, Dr. Danville.
What do you want to look at Phil's and George's scene for, Dan?
Well, when you're investigating a disappearance, I see it's a pretty good start to just where the party's going. Now, let's see. Now, this is the room right here.
Well, aren't you going to knock?
I can't see how that would be necessary. We know the big guy's room. We'll walk right in.
Dan, we're not alone.
Lady, what's the idea of walking in without knocking?
Oh, is this your room?
Well, it ain't. What you guys doing in here?
Well, I might ask you the same question. And don't say you're one of the college boys.
Smart guy, ain't you?
You still haven't told me what you're doing here.
For George and Billy, I'm none of their very good friends.
Brought up on the same block, I suppose.
Sure, I've known them a moment, right.
Now, I'm sure that the acquaintanceship to the mutually beneficial.
Hmm?
Never mind, you wouldn't know anyway.
Now that I told you what I was doing here, how about you and the same question?
Well, you see, Rusty here come up to look at the etching.
Mm-hmm. But yourself?
Well, in your vernacular, it would probably be a pair of brass knuckles and a black hat.
Hee, our damn George doesn't still really answer, athlete.
What's
wrong with
trophies? What did she say?
Trophies. Those things up on the mantle over there.
Those.
Have it your way, pal.
Yeah, they want them playing football.
All right, Mr. Lee, whatever your name is. What'd you do with the boy?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You do?
What did you think that?
Because Phil and George never played a game of football in their lives. And if you were their friend, you'd know it. Now tell me what you did for them.
I didn't want to get rough, but you can do it.
If you can put away that gun, it doesn't scare me.
I told him them things not the same. This is going to make it to Pop and the boys. They shouldn't have killed him. They should.
Oh, so you're the one who kidnapped him.
That's a naughty word, Bob. You know, if I want to see him, take it to him.
All right, better.
You and your roommate ain't going to be able to talk to him. Because why?
Because why?
Because dead people don't talk.
Oh, that's a perfect bullseye.
I hope I didn't dent it. Phil Craig won it at a dog show.
Now, grab the pillowcase, Rusty. Let's truss up this hunk of beef.
Pillowcase?
Yeah. Tuck up a Christmas tree.
Oh, sure.
Hurry, Rusty. Our friend's coming through.
Yeah, that ought to just about do it.
Yeah, you're coming.
Pretty good.
Yeah, better check now. Let's get the board to get loose. Yeah, that's fine. See? Now, you'll just meet me. Put them in the bed. Now, my friend will give you a pillow and cover you up all nice and cozy.
That bump on his head sure looks cute.
Yeah, doesn't it? Look at a ribbon. That's not my boy. You're saying a nasty thing to your eyes. We've got to move fast, right? Yeah, that guy said dead men talk like men at it.
But as long as he's caught up, he can't let his accomplices know that we have the boys are missing.
Well, we have no way of knowing how long it'll take. He'll be tied up. Let's see, this is where Sally lives, right here.
Oh, Sally.
Sally Grayson, the other girl, the one who was with George last night when he was kidnapped.
Oh. Well, you aren't going to walk right in here without knocking.
Lately. Anyway, this isn't a part, Rusty. Yeah, let's see now. Yeah, that's it. Number three. Yeah, I'll just...
Somebody's home. Hey, this is a swanky joint. Sally must have me.
One,
two, three.
You want to see me, maybe?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh,
Doctor. How are you, Miss Grayson?
Well, come in, come in. This is a surprise.
Yes, Dan, collect.
I see you have company.
Yes, but I thought something bothered you. You know, June Webster, of course.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. Well, you were dressing gown in June? I thought you were in a little house in Brooklyn.
I did. I'm just staying here with Sally until the business came
in. You know, my secretary, but that's your fair fact, Miss Grayson?
No, I don't believe so. Glad I know you, Rusty.
Hi.
And this is Cece LeMaine. Cece sings the Blue Pup.
The Blue Pup?
Yes, it's a nightclub, Rusty.
You sure get it around.
Miss LeMaine, Dr. Danfield, Miss Fairfax.
You must come up and see me sometime.
I'd really like to.
Maybe she thinks she will.
Cece was just reminding me of a party we had at the Blue Pup, Dr. Danfield. I don't even remember being there. That was the time when I was imbibing.
Why, Miss Grayson. Nice little voice, girl. Just didn't drink.
Nice ones don't.
Have you found out anything about our friend George?
No, not yet.
Sure.
Yes, darling. Did you know Dr. Danfield was about last night? So that's the way you did hear?
Yes, I did. So there's got to be some mom before that game tonight.
You heard that drug test? Did you read the word about this? It was so long, like Jill Roy.
I know, but I thought...
You thought... Oh, you silly little squirt. Anything you think this is those kids that are in your throat? You just want to say you killed me yourself.
I only wanted to...
You give me your clothes and get out of here.
All right, I'll go.
You dumb little... Oh, well.
I you're not very really like me, sorry.
Who said I was a lady?
Did I understand you to say that Socrates is in danger?
What do you know about Socrates?
Why? Well, Phil and I are just like that.
I don't believe you.
Oh, is that? That's all. I'll have you know that Phil Craig comes to see me plenty of times. He takes me home after the show and I let him forgive me. Because I like it.
You about to.
Okay, I don't like it too much anyway. But I can give you something to know. Dr. Dan.
You will. Maybe tonight.
Dan.
Au revoir.
Well, I'd be glad to take you, Dr. Danfield. I have a brand new Cadillac parked just outside.
Dan, if you do, I'll never speak to you again.
Why, Rusty, don't you get the pitch? Why, it all ties in like the laces on a third baseman's glove. In a moment, we'll return for the third act of Danger, Dr. Danfield, but first... Turn you to Michael Dunn for the third act of Danger, Dr. Danfield.
So this is the Blue Pup.
Hmm?
Really, Dan, I love to go slumming.
I'll make up for it, honey. Tomorrow night, I'll take you to the short club with all the trimmings.
Ah.
That is, if Norton wins tonight and I win my bet.
Well, then we won't go to the Stork Club. You realize it's just 3 hours until game time? We haven't even got an idea where the boys are sitting now.
Well, what do you think I brought you here for?
Oh, now, don't tell me you think that George and Phil are here. It's not a bridge joint. What gave you that idea?
A little trail with winding into the land of my dreams.
It is no time to start getting poetical.
By George, I'm right.
Huh? What's the matter?
Take a look over there by the door.
By the... Again,
it's... Yes, Rusty, it's our beefy friend. Yes. The one we left all tied up nice and pretty at George and Phil's room.
But how did he...
Get loose? Well, my guess is that somebody set him loose. Never could have wriggled out of those knots that I tied him with. I was a Boy Scout once.
Who could have done that?
I don't know, but I've got a mighty good idea.
Danny's looking right at us.
Yes. Look at the grin. Just daring us to try and get out of that door.
Oh, hiya, friend.
Hiya, Doctor.
I dare say, my dear Rusty, that we've walked right into a trap.
I don't remember one for it. I could throw a sugar bowl or something.
No, I'm afraid it wouldn't do much good, Rusty. If you'll notice, there are about three other tough-looking mugs hanging around that door. Not taking any chances.
Well, couldn't you get to the phone and call the cops?
Probably. I doubt if we would still be here when the cops arrived. I think they're just aching for us to make a move.
Our boyfriend must think he's pretty smart.
No, he's just a stooge. The main guy in this racket is probably the owner of the place.
Well, why don't we call on him in his office?
And I doubt if old funny face over there will let us.
See. I've got an idea.
That's more than I have.
Look, why don't I make like I'm going to the powder room? Maybe get confused and open a few wrong doors.
Hey.
It probably won't get suspicious as long as you're here at the table.
Hey, good girl, Rusty. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
If I find anything, I'll let out a yelp and you come running.
All right, but be mighty careful, huh?
Did you bring a gun?
No, but I still have a pretty good look.
Okay. Hold your breath. Here I go.
Good one.
And you?
Huh?
Where's your girlfriend going?
Now I know you never went to college or you wouldn't ask questions like that.
Well, you'd better not be trying anything funny.
Oh, go back to your little old door and sit down.
Go on, Spike. I want to talk to the guy.
Well, okay.
Fifi, fancy meeting you here.
Hiya, tall, dark, and Gregory Peck looking.
Just fine, just fine. I thought I'd take you up on your little invitation.
Sure, I knew I could get you here. There ain't any psychology that works better than a pretty leg and a come-on, glint-me eye.
You have to come down and give a lecture to my class sometime.
Oh, brother, I could teach them guys something. Have a drink?
No, thanks. I don't think I'd care for your brand of knockout rock.
Oh, come on, you ain't going anywhere.
Yes, I'm beginning to get the idea that I'm not. Tell me, how long do you intend keeping us here?
Only until after the game. Then you can go just as free as you came in. You can even take me home, handsome, to get rid of that girlfriend of yours.
Thanks, but I always leave with a gal what drunk me. You know something, Fifi? Tomorrow I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest.
For what?
Kidnapping.
Kidnapping who?
Me and Rusty.
Oh, don't make me giggle. You came here of your own free will, didn't you?
Yes.
And if you don't cause any trouble, you can leave the same way.
And if I do cause any trouble?
One of the boys will put you to sleep. And there'll be 10 witnesses in the morning who'll swear that you and your girlfriend were drunk and disorderly.
You've got it all figured out, haven't you?
Yeah. We got it all figured out.
Hey, that was what?
Hey, where do you think you're going? You'll
never know.
Stop! You stop or I'll shoot! You're too late, my friend.
Hey, Steve, I told you not to get funny.
Out of my way, you go.
There, now the coast is clear. Rusty!
Rusty, where are you?
Help!
Oh, in there, huh? You right with you?
Stand!
Oh!
What is that going to do if we're locked in here tighter than a drum?
Yeah, so I see. There. I freeze the bird. Now, I'll just turn on the light.
Maybe they'll see them under the door, the crack.
I'll have to take a chance for a minute.
Well, couldn't you yell out the window?
There isn't any window, Rusty. Anyway, just bring them a running. Ah, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Now, I'll turn out the lights.
What are you looking for?
Telephone. Thank heavens for Donna, mate.
Yes.
If nobody comes in from it. Oh. I had that. Hello, operator. Give me the fire department. Yes, that's right. Hello, this is Dr. Daniel Danfield. I want to report a fire at the Blue Pup nightclub. The Blue Pup nightclub. Yes, yes, that's right. And hurry, will you? My secretary and I are locked up in the manager's office. Hey, yes, yes, yes. I know it sounds crazy, but it's a fact. And Chief, will you do me a favor? Look up an address for me, will you? Listen, Chief, it's a matter of life and death. Yeah, that's right. It's a little house in Brooklyn. The name is Miss June Webster. Well, here they come, Rusty. Here they come.
Oh, thank heaven. Oh, now, Spike will only let them in.
You don't know the New York Fire Department. They'll probably have a dozen of New York's finest with them.
Okay.
Hey, you get what I mean? What'd I tell you?
Danfield, you in there?
Sure am, Steve. Guess you'll have to break the door down.
That'll be a thing.
Come on, fellas. What's more?
Now then, where's the fire?
In my head, Chief. You see the lump?
Say, what is this? A false alarm?
No, not at all, Chief. You're here just in time to save the honor of good old Norton College.
Norton? Hey, my boy was there. Oh, and that reminds me. Let's get back to the firehouse. I want to listen to that game tonight on my radio. I've got $10 on the game.
Yeah? Who are you betting on?
Why, Norton, of course.
Who else? Well, then, if you want to save your money, you'd better take us to that little house in Brooklyn that I spoke to you about.
Yeah, why?
Because unless I'm very badly mistaken, Chief, Norton's two best players, Phil Craig and George Merriman, are being held prisoners there.
Well, what are we waiting for? Come on, let's go.
Rusty,
I
never thought I'd get a
chance to
find the fire engine. Oh, boy, me and the little flower.
Come on, boys, into the play. Don't bother the knot, Chief.
Hey, what is this? Well, Bright Eyes, you move around fast, don't you?
Hey, hey, it's Danfield. Get him, boys. Oh, we give up, we give up. We can't fight the whole police force.
And don't forget the fire department.
And the fire department.
All right, Spike, where are they?
In the back room.
And where is Miss June?
Out in the kitchen. She got scared and was going to sweep. I had to smack her down.
Uh-huh.
Come on, fellas, the coast is clear.
Thank heaven you guys got here. We're just about giving up.
Well, it's never too late, Phil.
Hey, what time is it?
You've got just an hour.
Well, come on, Phil, we can just make it. We simply got it for good old Norton.
We return for the conclusion of Danger, Dr. Danfield, but first... Now back to Michael Gunn for the conclusion of Danger, Dr. Danfield.
Going to town, 89-14 in favor of Norton. Hey, get that! George made that one.
They certainly don't play like anybody who would throw a game.
Huh? Oh, I never suspected either one of them for a moment. If George or Phil ever needed money that badly, all they'd have to do would be to turn professional. Besides, Rusty, good, clean athletes like those kids just don't go bad. It's hardly possible psychologically.
Tell you she thought the whole thing was a frame-up.
I can't hear you. What'd you say?
I said, what made June Webster come to you and tell you she thought the whole thing was a frame-up?
Because she wanted to throw suspicion on Phil Craig. She knew there'd be a stink after the whole thing was over. She was just trying to get out from under.
And she was in on the deal all the time.
Why, sure. She's the one who untied our boyfriend for us.
Say, what made you so sure it wasn't a frame-up, then?
Well, for one thing, Spike being planted in the boys' room. He was there to notify the gang if we discovered it was a real kidnapping. Our tying them up forced their hand. That's why June brought Fifi over to Sally's room as a decoy to get us out to the nightclub.
Come on, did you fall for that?
I'll say I did for a while. I thought the boys might be out there. What they really wanted was to get us out there and hold us until after the game.
Hey,
wait a minute. I still don't...
me how you connected June up with the case. Or how you figured that the boys were being held at her house in Brooklyn.
Oh, I figured that the boys were being held in her... Oh, I knew she was there from the first.
Why?
Well, because of her knowledge of the odds on the game. The odds, she quoted, at 4-1 against Norton were only changed that morning.
Oh.
She hadn't had time to be in the papers yet. Therefore, only somebody connected with gambling would know about it.
How about her house?
Huh?
How about her house?
Oh, that was a bit of luck. Plus the fact that it was the most logical place for him to be. Hey, what a game, huh?
Oh, boy.
You know, Rusty... Come to think of it, that Sally Grayson has an awfully nice new Cadillac.
Don't you ever let me catch you riding in it.
I won't. I could have a lot more fun in your Ford.
You can't.